Before we begin the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, as you can see, I would like to ask the Argentina group.
Argentina.
I don't see them on the screens, and I don't hear them.
We
had an agreement that I'm going to let them ask something. So Argentina,
maybe
they were disconnected. Okay, if they can connect to us. Okay, there we go.
Hola. Hola, Rav.
Shomim otchem.
Desde el 2009, en Buenos Aires.
Since 2009, in Buenos Aires, the Congress we held in Argentina, I always had a great desire to come to the Congress in Israel. And after many problems, we have many economic problems and financial problems in Argentina, I lost hope, and I said, okay, I'll just wait for my teacher to come here to Argentina so as to be able to see him, then I'll be able to meet you. But today, I want to say that I thought I wasn't coming, but then the gates opened, the Creator is great, and not only me, but all of the Argentina group, six friends, are all in my heart is just bursting. I'm so happy, so overjoyed, that I will be able to be with you, with all my great brothers, to celebrate that great celebration, that party, which is the big congress in Israel. Sebastian is talking now. Hello, friends. I'm very happy that I'll be able to go there, see you, hug you, dance with you. It's a dream. I see you only on the cameras, but it's a dream to come and see you, meet you physically. Hello, friends. The truth is, next speaker. Hello, friends. I'm very excited about this opportunity the Creator is giving us, all of the Tandil group, to finally graduate from kindergarten to experience the true work that our friends in Israel are doing, the real work that they do so persistently, so consistently, and with absolute devotion. And we want to learn from you, to emulate you, and be even more serious. So thank you, brothers from Israel, and thank you to the Creator for giving us this opportunity to grow. So we're going there, we're coming, friends.
We're very happy. It's not a simple condition there. Circumstances and the fact that they can get organized and prepare themselves to come here, that's a big effort. And that is praiseworthy. Okay. We'll be waiting for you and expecting you. Come here. We'll welcome you with a lot of warmth. All right. So we are starting to study the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, write down questions. Here and there, we'll make room for questions. Go ahead.
We're reading from the writings of Baal Sulam, the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot. Item 1. At the outset of my words, I find a great need to break an iron wall that has been separating us from the wisdom of Kabbalah since the ruin of the temple to this generation. It lies heavily on us and arouses fear of being forgotten from Israel. However, when I begin to speak to anyone about engaging in this study, his first question is, Why should I know how many angels are in the sky and what their names are? Can I not keep the whole Torah in all its details and intricacies without this knowledge? Second, he will ask, the sages have already determined that one must first fill one's belly with Mishnah and Gemara, and who can deceive himself that he has already completed the whole of the revealed Torah and lacks only the wisdom of the hidden? Third, he is afraid that he will turn sour because of this engagement. This is because there have already been incidents of deviation from the path of Torah because of engagement in Kabbalah. Hence, why do I need this trouble? And who is so foolish as to place himself in danger for no reason? Fourth, even those who favor this study permit it only to holy people, servants of the Creator, and not all who wish to take the Lord may come and take. Fifth, and most important, there is a conduct in our midst that, when in doubt, keep this. Do as people do. And my eyes see that all those who study Torah in my generation have one view and refrain from studying the hidden. Moreover, they advise those who ask them that it is undoubtedly preferable to study a page of Gemara instead of this engagement.
In the meantime, it's questions. Any question here? What?
What's the connection between the ruin of the temple and the iron partition that separates us from the wisdom of Kabbalah?
This is the detachment, that there was a kli that was felt among many people, you can say in the majority of the people, it was felt like they're in contact with the upper force, everyone on a different level, different to a different measure, but still it was felt, and then there was some concealment, and then you no longer feel that you're in control of the upper force, but rather in control of your belly. The world becomes wild.
Yes.
So that's the ruin of the temple, but what's the connection between this and the iron partition between us and the wisdom of Kabbalah?
Yeah, because the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about how can I further and further connect to the upper force. And if I have detached from the upper force and I have no actual reciprocal connection with it, with the upper force, then I can't overcome and work on the connection more and more. I've become detached from the upper force. The Creator is hidden.
Hidden.
I don't feel there is a force in my world that works on me and I work towards Him and we are in some connection. This means that the concealment that detaches me from the upper force has arrived. This is what the ruin means. Now, there's two levels of this. There's a level in the vessels of reception, that's called the first temple, and the second temple, which is less than that, is the vessels of bestowing in order to bestow. They were lost from me as well. Meaning I have no connection with the Creator besides the light of Chassadim. So first we lose connection in the light of Chochmah, and then the light of Chassadim. And then I remain a beast. No more than that. That's our state today. To this day.
And since then, there is a greater and greater and greater descent from the presence of the Creator that we previously had, to an extent that today we are completely detached. No one believes it's possible and what the wisdom of Kabbalah can give. There's no possibility to return to it even. Return to what? What are you thinking for yourself? What are you imagining, that there's an upper force? that you can connect to it. There's nothing. That is the concealment which appears in our time before the ascent to the end of correction. It's all planned, it all should be this way, but the state is so. Is that clear? Yes? What?
All the five questions Balasaran writes here are relevant to a person who's related to the study of the Torah, the tradition, or the religion of Israel. What about the questions that a secular person would ask?
What does a secular person have to ask? He has only one opportunity. Connect. You'll have an understanding of where you are, and you'll be able to better your life. If you won't connect, then you'll continue as a beast. The religious person has doubts, has different problems that of accepting a different form of study, a special form, a chassid or litai, or religious, or partly religious, etc. A secular person has no problem. For him, it's very simple. For secular, they come, they don't know anything, they don't understand anything, but alongside with that, if they have this awakening, if they have their point in the heart awakened, then go ahead. There are no obstacles. That is why, that is the audience that we relate to, if to anyone, and never to a person that is that belongs to a religious stream, regardless of what kind. Okay, good. No questions from abroad as well. Let's keep going.
Item 2. Indeed, if we set our hearts to answer but one very famous question, I am certain that all these questions and doubts will vanish from the horizon, and you will look onto their place to find them gone. Meaning, this indignant question that the whole world asks, namely, what is the meaning of my life? In other words, these numbered years of our life that cost us so heavily, and the numerous pains and torments that we suffer for them, to complete them to the fullest, who is it who enjoys them? Or even more precisely, whom do I delight? It is indeed true that historians have grown weary contemplating it, and particularly in our generation, no one even wishes to consider it. Yet, the question stands as bitterly, as vehemently as ever. Sometimes it meets us uninvited, pecks at our minds, and degrades us to the ground before we find the famous ploy of flowing mindlessly in the currents of life as always.
Meaning, the question awakens. Why am I alive? What for? The purpose of life, the purpose of creation. We see the world is so complex, everything is done through wisdom in nature, wisdom which is above our own understanding, and we don't see why it all exists. Still vegetative, animate, and speaking, and we are the highest form in nature, but we can't say that there is any benefit of our existence. Actually, this doesn't happen in nature, because everything that exists has its cause, its consequence, its necessity of existence, and so on. However, when we look at creation, we see there is lack of order, lack of forces, that there aren't forces which follow certain laws. They don't exist, on the one hand. we see a wonderful world on the one hand. On the other hand, we don't see that it has any purpose, any plan. And this brings us a great question. What is happening with our life? We have to run around and chase different things and maybe attain them, or we'll eat and drink as tomorrow we will die. Yes.
What hides this question from us or most of our life? Even the ones whose point is not awakened. Say a person is in a business or a place. He knows he has a goal. He has measurements. He has a direction. But life, which is the most important thing, he doesn't even ask the question.
It's very good that it's concealed. Otherwise, everyone would run around like madmen to all different directions, would make a lot of noise and trouble. So we have a will to receive, which demands energy for every movement, and we receive that only on the condition that we have a deficiency to truly attain something. And that is why we usually want to reach the state of rest. So that is why it's very good that it's like this in nature, otherwise we would ruin everything. There is so much to talk about here, I don't even know. What do you want to ask?
What is the source of the concealment of this?
What, the source of concealment of the real world, of the true reality?
Of the question, what's the point in my life? It's very clear for a person that he'll die one day.
The questions that are awakened in us are awakened according to different levels of still, vegetative, animate, and speaking. And until we reach the degree of the speaking to develop, we don't ask beyond our minds. When we reach the degree of speaking, then we start asking. Just like the time of Abraham, who come to him to study, he explained what needs to be done. Do you want to reach revelation of godliness? That is, through connection between yourselves. Do you want this? Do you want to try this? Go ahead. That is how he formed this group.
So today, did humanity reach the degree, the speaking level? Humanity as a general rule.
I can't tell you. Each and every one individually. Go to the people of Israel, for example. Start dividing them. What will you have? 99%? Who are they? What do they want other than food, sex, family? Maybe then also money, honor, knowledge, what else? Nothing beyond that. You can see. According to the inclinations. But what do we have? We have the path in its due time, where we receive sufferings. And if through these sufferings we slightly increase connection, then the upper light appears. And with this upper light, we begin to see what we should do. We get greater understanding, greater emotion, and then we treat reality in a more lucid manner. Suddenly, everything begins to brighten, to clear up. But without that, only animals, beasts. Even though there is an awakening, slightly, to reach spirituality, but this awakening too is what for and why. The desires, the inclinations are not spiritual, they're corporeal. I want to know how to better exploit, better take advantage of my situation. Our yearning to the Creator, that too is how can we grab Him, how can we feel Him, how can I understand Him? Me. It's not that it's a spiritual passion. It's a corporeal one. These are the klipot, the shells that awaken us.
This question, what the point in my life, isn't this a question? Everyone asks this, even as a child.
Yes, but what is the essence of this question? What is the meaning of life? Why am I alive? How can I take advantage of life? What is above life? How can I grab this force which governs my life in order to take a better advantage of it? Egoistic questions, correct ones, yes, legitimate. So what are you asking?
So why is this question calmed down? Why is it flowing in the currents of life? Why doesn't it bug a person until he says, yes, I'll find something?
In order to give him an opportunity to develop this passion himself. It's called a reshimo. It's called an inclination. A demand, raising of man. What? You'll have a desire inserted into you and you'll respond based on these desires. And then you'll again get desires and you'll respond to them again. That's called the sacred animals. You'll want to bestow. Why? Because you were given a desire. Where is the person here? The Adam. Adam has to be built of two forces. That between these two forces, he builds this middle line, and it's all through his exertion. And it's not his own personal exertion, but it's the exertion of the ten. This he needs to invent himself. Meaning, there is data that needs to be put together, and one needs to be equipped with these forces through connection, and that a person should do himself. Okay? Moscow.
Из-за чего в человеке возникает вопрос о смысле жизни, и можно ли это искусственно пробудить этот вопрос в человеке?
From where do these questions evoke in, awaken inside a person? What's the meaning of life? And how can we help that?
Reshimot, which are in us from the time of shattering, they're awakened, and every time they pull us forward. These reshimot, on a corporeal level, they push a person to develop corporeally, and the reshimot from the spiritual plane, with them a person develops spiritually. It's all reshimot. We can accelerate these reshimot to the extent that we awaken a deficiency for them that we want to develop quickly. It all depends on the work of the ten, on the work of the group. That is it. Okay, we didn't ask Asia today. Asia.
Hello.
Can the wisdom of a Kabbalah be forgotten from Israel?
Can the wisdom of Kabbalah be forgotten from Israel? No. No. Don't wait for it. You think you won't have the necessity to invest efforts? No, that will not happen. As it's written that from the edge of the world, the Creator will grab you by the ear and will awaken you good. So, wait, it will happen.
In Dvarim 30, even if you are deserted in the end of heaven, the God will take you from there.
Even from Australia. Item 3. Indeed, it is to resolve this great riddle that the verse says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Those who keep the Torah and mitzvot, the commandments, correctly, are the ones who taste the taste of life. They are the ones who see and testify that the Lord is good. As our sages say, that He created the worlds to do good to His creations, since it is the conduct of the good to do good. Because a person that corrects the kli, raises man, enters engagement with the Creator, as it's called, begins to reveal godliness, and other than godliness, there is nothing else in reality. Then by that, he discovers his life, the source of his life, the purpose of life, everything that belongs to him, all the deficiencies that exist in the soul, they receive fulfillment, explanation, and by that, a person sees himself, sees all the world from one end to the other. So everything depends to the extent one realizes connection, and in that connection attaining the upper force. And all of the Torah is only how we can connect. Because the law of the Torah is love thy friend as thyself, it's to reach a state of love. Love is the final, highest state of connection, and that's how it works, simply. All of the egoists that need to connect among each other through the light that reforms, that is what happens. The problem is along the way, that we forget that we're incapable. Every time again we think that we're able to do something, and that is a great mistake, but we need to connect only in order to raise man, to raise a prayer to the Creator. And when this upper force receives our man, it simply is one level which is, it's simply a higher degree than we are. As we learn from the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, that then from that state the upper light appears on us, the light that reforms, and by that we connect, and through the connection between us, in the corrected vessels that both have rejection from one another, and above this rejection, connection to one another, above the oviut, which is rejection, and the purity, which is connection, we begin to discover the upper force in us and begin to feel and understand the upper reality, which is the Creator. Okay? Yes, David?
Rav, yes, Tam.
Rav, is there any benefit in people to study Kabbalah who are on the level of still vegetative animate and animate? Rav, yes. But yes, they're human beings. They need to know why they're alive, what for, what they have from life. And it needs to be explained to them, just like they go to school, they have some kind of discovery of this world, so they should also have the same. We've reached the state that it's a necessity to know this. Every person still wants to know what world he lives in. Look at how many people enter a state of despair, of helplessness, why they're alive, what they're alive for. They receive different distorted forms of life, and so on. So I think that the minimal necessity should be this way, to explain to them a system in which we exist. I think that in our time, I would bring a very short introduction to people to like to study, like a school. So it's many of the people of Israel were studied the Talmud from a young age, and they continue this way. The question is, to the people of Israel, to its children, should they also have lessons in the wisdom of Kabbalah for children, or maybe in other ways? Rav, I think in our days it is beneficial, but it is not I who is going to push this. But maybe it would be good to prepare such materials. Rav, who will accept it? I don't know. It's already beginning to be, you'll have so much resistance to it. No, I don't want to get into such arguments, no. We need to expand our circles for adults, and whoever wants to come will come and learn what we have to say. It's not related to education, nor to parents or children. It's not related to the educational system, which is tied to politics and elections. What we do is what we do. We have a few thousands in our frameworks. That's enough. Yes.
If a person got accustomed to study the matter of Gemara from a younger age, he...
I don't want to reach out to those people. To those who study the Talmud, they can study the Talmud. I do not want to reach them.
I see. However, if we want to make the wisdom of Kabbalah accessible to the still, vegetative, and animate, so who should be with these people who...
Like I said, those who go to a regular school, a secular one, they should get it slightly. Because those that are religious have some kind of compensation from studying the Torah, and those have nothing.
Okay, so I did mean the secular, the educational system. Should we have an organized material, a lesson?
Yes, of course, in our days, yes, we should. 10 years ago, I wouldn't say so, but today, yes.
First of all, it's felt that it's a great privilege to study the introduction to Tess. After all the articles we started opening lately, I wanted to ask actually about items 2 and 3. It really relates to the social articles by Rabash. Meaning, without the articles of Rabash, it seems to be something very abstract.
Yep, now we better understand what Baal HaSulam meant.
I wanted to ask, did Rabash speak about this? The connection with this article.
What we have in the archive, he almost didn't interpret a thing. Almost nothing. In singularity, when I was with him, I didn't record anything because he was against it. So I almost didn't bring my tape recorder when we went on trips together. It limited him, and it wasn't worth it as well. That he'll say these regular sayings, then what's the benefit of hearing it? He spoke a lot, but not that it's recorded. And that's why I'm passing this on to you in all these different forms that we're learning.
Because it's felt that for every such item, we should read an article by Rabash in order to go into it in our work. I don't know.
Well, let's continue.
We're in item 3, starting with yet. Yet those who have not yet tasted the taste of life and keeping Torah and mitzvot,
meaning in order to bestow that discovers the Creator and accepts it,
cannot feel or understand that the Lord is good, as our sages said.
Doesn't feel the Creator at all, and definitely doesn't feel that He's good.
That when the Creator created us, His sole purpose was to benefit us.
That a person will feel in his mind, in his heart, contact, mutual, deep contact with the Creator through all his vessels.
Hence, we have no other counsel but to keep the Torah and mitzvot as they should be.
Torah and mitzvot, as they should be, meaning that he reveals all of his desires and corrects them in order to bestow, that is called to keep the mitzvot, the commandments. We have altogether 613 such desires, which he needs to keep. And this is done through the lights of the Torah, the upper lights, which correct him in order to bestow. This is called 613 lights of the Torah. So we have the keeping of the Torah and mitzvot means to correct the entire human ego to be in order to bestow.
It is written in the Torah, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil." This means that prior to the giving of the Torah, we had only death and evil before us, as our sages say. The wicked in their lives are called dead, since their death is better than their lives, as the pain and suffering they endure for their sustenance is many times greater than the little pleasure they feel in this life. However, now we have been granted Torah and mitzvot, and by keeping it, we are rewarded with the real life, joyful and delightful to its owner. As it is written, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Hence, the writing says, "See, I have set before you this day life and good," which you did not have in reality at all prior to the giving of the Torah. And the writing ends, "Therefore, choose life, so you may live, you and your descendants." There is a seemingly repeated statement here, "Choose life, so you may live."
Meaning, it's as if there is a double life. You have your life, and in addition, you choose something more.
Yet, it is a reference to life in keeping Torah and mitzvot, which is when there is real life. However, a life without Torah and mitzvot is harder than death. This is the meaning of the words of our sages, "The wicked in their lives are called dead." The writing says, "So you may live, you and your descendants." It means that not only is a life without Torah joyless to its owner, but one also cannot delight others. One finds no contentment even in one's progeny, since the life of his progeny is also harder than death. Hence, what gift does he bequeath them? However, not only
meaning that he reveals the Creator in his vessels in order to bestow, and where does he get these vessels from? From the correct form of connection with his friends.
However, not only does one who lives in Torah and Mitzvot enjoys his own life, but he is even happy to bear children and bequeath them with good life. This is the meaning of, "So you may live, you and your descendants." For he receives additional pleasure in the life of his progeny, of which he was the cause,
that he receives in order to bestow upon them. Kiev.
Kiev. Да, здравствуйте, дорогой учитель. А что такое вот эти вот 613?
Yes, dear teacher. What are these 613 lights of the Torah in our practical work?
Listen. Look here. You have above here light. Light. The Creator.
Or.
Light.
Light. Or. Zakol.
So that's all in all. This is the Creator.
Creator.
And below that, you have a desire.
Ratzon.
A desire. Ratzon.
Ratzon. Kli.
A kli, vessel.
Neshama.
Neshama, a soul. This desire needs to be similar to the light, to such an extent that the light will enter the ratzon. You have a light that corrects this ratzon, this desire, and you have this or which fulfills the desire. So our work is to resemble the Creator, Bore. We are here. Here you have, say, 600,000 parts. That's what it's written, but as many as there are. And to the extent you connect them in tens, and from a ten you form a partsuf.
Partsuf.
So, you have a necessity to take a 10 here, and it's arranged for you, and you yourself also need to build as well. And if you, in your 10, exist in similar to the Creator, resembling the Creator, what does it mean to resemble the Creator? All of the rules, the laws of the ten, then by that you become as a kli, as a desire. You become similar to the light. This is the light and this is the desire. That is all of our work. The entire problem is in the ten. How we connect in order for our connection to be similar to the Creator. All in all, no one is similar but opposite, but when we, ten of us, between each other, when we begin to connect, so each one rejects himself in order to be at the center of the ten, and each one does that. So it turns out that we start building between us this area, this quality that does not exist in any one of us, because each one is rejecting his own self. And then we start building something that didn't exist. And that is the quality of bestowal. That is the quality of the Creator. Now, of course, we are incapable of doing that. But we are capable of making efforts. Of making efforts. Huh? And the Creator helps according to our efforts. Accordingly, the Creator assists us both from the outside and also from the inside. That in this place where He needs to be revealed, there as well, both here and there. This is revealed as inner light, surrounding light, all kinds. But in short, this is what we need to do. There is nothing here other than that. The entire method is in that. I've created the evil inclination, I've created the Torah as a spice, because the light in it reforms. What does it mean, reforms? Returns to Him, to the Creator. All right, Kiev.
Так вот 613 lights of Torah. Where are they here? These 613 lights.
Here. 613 lights come upon us. 613 lights, and from since we have in our desire 613 shattered desires. Just to put it simply, there's Taryag 613, there's Tarach 620, Our desires are like a partsuf that has galgalta inayim and achap.
No. So,
it has ramach, evarim, and shasa, gidin. Altogether, 613. Tariag. This is the structure of the soul. Each and every one is like this. And then we need, seemingly, the 613 lights, this force of bestowal that comes from the Creator, and it gives the corrupted will to receive, corrupted from the shattering, corrupted from the sin of Adam HaRishon, it gives him the force of the masach, the screen. So that's why everything is attained only through prayer, because prayer is this man. Man. A request. Help. Save. Do. That's it.
Так, а что же это такая за просьба должна быть, чтобы мы могли в десятке привлечь...
What request should there be so that we can draw these lights in the ten, correct our desires?
We have no problem. No problem. Let's ask the Creator to help us unite. But in order for us to ask Him, we need to start with something. We need to start with something. Let us today, after the lesson, we're going to go out, and we have a problem. We want to see ourselves as connected internally with one goal, with desires for the Creator, in connection between us, with mutual support, one that will help his friend. Let's do this and aim everything to Him, to the positive force of nature, and we are the negative force. Let's raise man, a deficiency, that will help us connect, because we're incapable, we're only in a state of rejection, because everyone is an egoist, everyone is a minus. If it was plus, minus would have connection. We don't have plus, minus, we have only minuses, we're all egoists. That is why we cannot connect. What the Creator does, according to our request, that we, to the extent that we depict ourselves, sorry, to the extent we are sorry that we are in a state of minus, in a state of rejection, He brings the light that influences us, gives us the importance of the force of bestowal, of the force of connection, to an extent, slightly, and to that extent we can come closer to one another. And even more, and even more, until we begin to make contact, to connect to one another. This is only by requesting, by asking, and He gives us this force of connection. He gives us His strength. He Himself is actually already in us, and He is revealed that way, but only in a way that in the meanwhile He Himself is concealed. But this force is already felt in us, that we can somehow emotionally feel that we're together. And like that, we connect more and more and more until this force begins to appear in us in a revealed form, the force of connection. And then, in this force of connection, it's not immediate, but we begin to reveal the Creator. Meaning, the source of the force of connection. That's already on the levels of Shoresh, root, first, second, third, and fourth. And that is how we reveal Him. And then, an additional distancing, disappointment, darkness arrives. We can't connect. Where is the previous form of connection? It's gone. Disappeared. So what do? Very simple. We need again to try and connect, to ask the Creator to do this, the Creator will complete me. And then we feel a little more, His importance, His... And then we start helping again one another and connect even more. But always you have an ascent that you discover the assistance of the Creator and even the Creator Himself to an extent, and then a descent where He disappears and you have nothing. And it's even worse than it was before. Because the previous descent was, okay, so it's gone. But now, after you had something and it's disappeared, then you already know what disappeared. Either you have a person who has nothing to lose because he had nothing in advance, or like a king's son that was thrown out. Understand the difference. And you understand this is how we advance more and more. But also in the descents, as we learn, we need to maintain this state as if I am in contact with the Creator. And then during descents, what do? I want to prove to myself that it doesn't matter to me what I feel, if I'm in the sensation of the Creator or not. But the most important thing is to be in connection. Even if there is nothing. And then I'm willing to be in connection, to be in bestowal as much as I'm capable of, even though I get nothing in return from that. And by that, I rise from one degree to the next more and more. The Creator is revealed, disappeared. Revealed, disappears. That's called the hiding Creator, the concealed God. And then we enter all kinds of actions, but it's all according to this plan. In other words, what is this plan? It's all according to our connection in the Ten. There is nothing more than that. And upon these connections in our Ten in different ways, it's explained to you in the study of the Ten Sefirot. That is why it is called this way.
Барур Киев.
Is that clear, Kiev?
То есть получается, что вот эти 613 цветов это то, что мы получаем как свет объединения.
So these 613 lights are what we get as a light of connection, as a response to our man.
Yes.
And today, during the day, we can draw these lights in the tent.
Every single moment, every second, no problem at all. Just don't forget. I, with my friends, we want to connect even more to give room for the Creator to be revealed. We ask for Him to help us to be in connection. We expect it from Him. We don't let go of it. We demand from Him to do this for us. And you'll see how very quickly you will begin to feel the response from Him.
This response, how will it come? What should we expect in this connection between us?
We need to expect to have an opportunity to unite as we ask. As we ask to give us the chance to unite above all of the problems, above all of our claims and complaints one to the other, above hatred, love covers all crimes. Every time it needs to be revealed this way. And every time we'll discover an even greater resistance between us, like the students of Rabbi Shimon that wanted to kill one another, and we'll get from the Creator always this force that will cover this resistance. And that is our work. But we forget about it. You've heard this 1,000 times. And every time, again, yes, we need to do, and then A second later, a minute after, it disappears. Why? Because you're not hearing each other. That's why in every single tent, where is the gabai? Where is the organizer? Where is the shatz? The representative. They need to be on duty. They need to awaken the ten. And even not one. Have two gabais. Have two shatz. That one organizes things. One organizes the people once a day, twice a day, to connect to each other. All of us together. And the other one will prepare a prayer that you want to turn to the Creator. And by that, we have to be there all the time. Try this for a few days and you'll see how beneficial it is. You'll be completely different. If we do it from now until the convention, in the convention we'll have a new society, a society of Kabbalists. Okay? All right. Item 4.
Yes, item 4. Now you can understand the words of our sages about the verse, therefore choose life. It states, I instruct you to choose the part of life as one who says to his son, choose for yourself a good part in my land. He places him on the good part and tells him, choose this for yourself. It was said about this, Lord, the portion of my inheritance and of my cup, you support my lot, you placed my hand on the good fate to say, take this for you. The words are seemingly perplexing. The verse says, therefore choose life. This means that one makes the choice by himself. However, they say that he places him on the good part. Thus, it is no longer choice here. Moreover, they say that the Creator puts one's hand on the good fate. This is indeed perplexing, because if this is so, where then is man's choice? Now you can see the true meaning of their words. It is indeed true that the Creator Himself puts one's hand on the good fate by giving him a life of pleasure and contentment within the corporeal life that is filled with torment and pain and devoid of any content. One necessarily departs and escapes them when he sees, even if it seemingly appears amidst the cracked, a tranquil place to escape there from this life, which is harder than death. Indeed, there is no greater placement of one's hand by him than this. And one's choice refers only to the strengthening. This is because there is certainly a great effort and exertion here before one purifies one's body to be able to keep the Torah and mitzvot correctly. Not for his own pleasure, but to bring contentment to his Maker, which is called Lishma, for her sake. Only in this manner is one endowed with a life of happiness and pleasantness that come with keeping the Torah. Before one comes to that purification, there is certainly a choice to strengthen in the good way by all sorts of means and tactics. One should do whatever his hand finds the strength to do until he completes the work of purification and will not fall under his burden midway.
And this too is possible only in the ten, that each one helps one another, gives examples, awakens each other. Only that way one can not stop along the way, but can continue and continue. And this is the matter of strengthening, that to the extent it's strengthened with each other, building all these systems and And that is how he advanced. Nothing he can do. All the time to nag the Creator together, everyone, that it will help, that will do these actions. We bring a deficiency, and he brings the force of connection. That is it. Is that clear?
No.
Go on.
The force of connection and the force of the ego, are they the same force? Is it the same force?
I don't understand.
The force of separation that human beings feel.
The force of separation and the force of the ego, that is the same thing.
So what changes? Why do we sometimes feel the separation and sometimes we feel it as something that connects?
Because the light comes, and we give this force of connection greater importance than the force of disconnection, of separation, and then the force of separation remains as coarseness, and the force of connection as tzimtzum, restriction, and masach, screen. And that is how we build ourselves, that from the inside we want to disconnect, separate, and on the outside, through our efforts, we want to connect. And the force of separation, the force of the ego is constantly activated. It's burning. It's like a volcano. From the inside, it's constantly on fire. But on the outside, we hold it through this force of through the importance. And by that, we constantly grow. Yes, Tzvika.
What interests me is the writings that he says all the time, choose life. Do I have any way to choose in life?
Yes, choosing life is connection through which you discover the force of bestowal, which is the Creator.
Why I'm asking this? Because he says that the only choice a person has is to strengthen.
Choosing to strengthen is that you will constantly demand the force of bestowal, which is called life.
What is this life? The Torah and mitzvot?
An opportunity to bestow upon everyone and through everyone to the Creator.
He writes that life without Torah and mitzvot are harder than death.
Yes.
What does he mean here?
That if you do not bestow upon others, you do not feel life, and all you are left with is beastly life, which is harder than death. What do you have in this life? Why are you alive? What, to fulfill your animal, your beast, which will die anyway soon? It's because you know that you're going to die, and for that you live. That's worse than death. Worse than death. Because whoever dies and doesn't need to supply his animal with, as long as he's alive, then he has greater benefit, greater profit. What does he need to work for? It's not clear?
No, that's clear to me. Meaning all this thing where the thing in life is, what, as you say, choose your 10, and there your whole work, that may be spiritual for you, that's where it is
for
your life?
Yes.
There's nothing else?
There is nothing.
There's a lot, isn't there? That's the only thing?
Yep, that is the only thing. Through connection, to reach adhesion to the Creator. Period. Nothing more. But at least give yourself some kind of measurement. Where are you? If you're supplying your animal, then you're less than an animal because you're supplying the animal. It's not that you are the owner. She is your owner. This beast is your owner. Who's caring for whom? Are you caring for the beast, for the animal? You're washing it. That's how Rabash used to say, I wash this animal, I put it to sleep, I cover it, I clothe it with nice clothes, I do all kinds of, fix myself up. Everything's around this animal, this beast.
What do you mean to give an account to myself, to measure? What do you mean?
think about how you live. Yes, think about how you live. Your entire life is to care for this animal of yours, which will certainly die and rot in the ground. And what will you have from all of this opportunity that you've been given? Nothing.
Nothing. I leave something to my children.
So just get rid of it, and that's it.
Yeah, but you have to understand, we're such a small group. Most of the world don't understand if this is the way it is.
Most of them don't even ask about it.
That's true. They say, let's build buildings and then have elections.
They die. What for? Well, at least there is an opportunity to say that there is no benefit from it.
No, so can't we open their eyes so they can see that they live in garbage?
No, it's prohibited.
Why?
Don't put an obstacle before a blind man. If they are living this way and they are not asking, then it's a sign that their will to receive has not yet ripened to begin to open up the essence of life. And you are already knocking on its door. You want to know. So I'm explaining to you that your life is less than an animal's.
That's the point I wanted to ask. What do you mean you're saying that we reach the final correction, the times of the Messiah? As you say, they're not yet cooked yet?
They'll reach very quickly. Don't worry about them. In a week, they'll all be in the end of correction. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Go on.
Out of the writings of Rabash, Volume 1, page 421, the miracle of Hanukkah. It's an excerpt that really is about what we read. A person has a lot of deficiency and pain in his life. He always sees that there's no point to his life when he starts thinking about the purpose of life. Meaning, what profits does he make when he suffers this war of life? This means that only when he tastes some pleasure, the pleasure intoxicates him, and he loses his mind and reason, and forgets to think about life's purpose. But when the pleasure in which he is immersed departs from him, for whatever reason, he immediately begins to ponder life's purpose. Only when one has nothing with which to nourish his body, meaning when he does not feel pleasure, he immediately begins to think about life's purpose. That is, a person asks himself, what is the meaning of my life? For what purpose was I born in the world? Was creation made so there would be creatures that suffer torments and pains in the world? That state causes one to begin to contemplate life's purpose. What is it, and what is it for? This is regarded as a person raising his head from the currents of life, where all the creatures are, and they have no time to think about what they are. Rather, they go with the flow where the water goes. And there is no one who can see the end, meaning where the flow of life is leading. Only he, because the lack of pleasure causes him to raise his head up in order to look at life's purpose. At that time he sees and hears, as though a clarion from above tells him that the world was created with the intention to do good to his creations. But in order to taste that benefit, he is told by books and authors that there are conditions in order to achieve that good, called the purpose of creation. The Creator demands that they first meet these conditions, or He will not want to give them the delight and pleasure.
Tov, New York.
Ken, Rab,
Rav, we still see that we can't get rid of this daily struggle of the beast and all of its demands, even though maybe it is possible to fight it, but we're not dealing with it at all. Why are we required to maintain this struggle?
You have to constantly be in this battle with your beast to give it what it needs. This too is part of correction. This also belongs to correction. Only here you're paying your animal for its existence, for living. And there's a question here as well. Are you feeding your animal like you feed a horse? That a horse doesn't need anything other than grains and water. Then for that you also have spiritual reward, because by that you are reviving your animal, and all the rest you make your Torah as permanent and your work as impermanent, that you dedicate all of your prayer to the Creator, nothing else to do. So the question should constantly be, am I feeling that we're not attaining connection? Are we turning to the Creator or not? Focus on that and you'll see how it helps. And everything that you'll do, you'll see how it is in the air, that we're drawn to it. So I remember it. Why? Because the friends in all the groups in the world, they're in this, and it's a must. It's a must. The fact that such a broad kli is revealed to us, and we are not using it, this returns to us amplified in the form of punishment. Go on.
No, that's, I hear it, but it's just that I feel that this life in general, the life that the society, the external society organized, and also things we deal with, it takes a lot more energy than these grains the body needs. Meaning, I'm not Rabbi Shimon in a cave living. I'm required to make much more effort.
Leo, this is you in New York, and the fact that it costs you a lot of time and effort just to hold yourself alive in comparison to, say, what you were a few incarnations ago, living in a village, by a sheep, by a cow, and some chickens, and you had your wife and your children, and tomatoes and cucumbers growing in your garden, and now you need a lot of money to hold yourself, your apartment, your car, and all these things. That, all of that, is, it must be this way. It must be this way. We don't give up on that. We don't go to some place far away and make corrections there. No. This is how it's built. Our world develops according to the needs of the soul, and only according to that it's determined. Okay, now we... So, let's conclude. You are writing one page. What do you recommend to add to Chaim Ratz's book? A summary, yes. That's one thing. The other thing, what do you want?
I wanted to tell you all about the training we started yesterday with friends from Russia, Russian Kli, about the structure of the group, the structure of society. We did it previously to all the Latin Kli.
The Russians did it to the Latin Kli?
Yes. It's been working wonderfully for 2 years already in the Russian Kli. And the friends from Moscow led this training, and over 200 friends from Spain, from South America, and from the U.S., Spanish-speaking friends, we started training to build a group. How to build a group out of a feeling that we have to strengthen our society. And the feeling was so special. The friends interacted in a special way. And I really want to thank the friends from Moscow for their great work.
That's very nice. That increases the intensity.
Yeah, and a wonderful yearning from all the friends from the Latin League, from Brazil, and everything was translated, and we're really thinking, we're asking for the thought of a group so we can strengthen ourselves and build an environment for ourselves. And maybe, Rav, you can give us a few words about this connection, the connection in the work between the groups. In what way do you see that we can strengthen each other to make a more organic connection? This was an initiation from the Russian-speaking friends.
I think the Latin Kli is closest by its spirit to the Russians. I've said about this in the past. And that is why it is really a good, it will please God succeed, so keep doing it. And the others can also try. I don't know, between these two groups, the Russian group in general and the Spanish-speaking, the group in general, it could be good. So it's good to hear, succeed.
Yes, we also like to update an environment building. It's we're about a month from the week of congresses in Israel. We want to invite every friend who hears us now to be part of the building of the content to the congress. After the lesson, we're going to send a link. It also appears on Svivatova. It's a Zoom link. Please, whoever wants, can come and integrate. And the moment you're in it, you can hear that the friends are in the Congress already. Now, it's a month from today or a bit more, and maybe we're not talking a lot about the Congress, or maybe we're not ready. So after you summarize the lesson with the 10, just go into this link, and you'll feel that the Congress has begun.
Thank you. Hopefully I will also get it. Okay, that's it. Anything else to add? No. So we, throughout the day, are not forgetting that all of our future, it all depends on the 10. That's where the Creator is. That's where the place of efforts are. And good luck.
Announcements. Evening lesson. You're all invited to watch us tonight at 6 o'clock with Rav Lightman on Sviva Tova. Thank you to our TV viewers. Have a good day. Unity evening, a connection to the source of life. Sunday, January 26th, we're going to have a special evening for all the groups in Petah Tikva. It will be dedicated to as a preparation to the World Congress. We're going to have a celebration of connection with a lot of good food, a musical show, and of course, a lesson with Rav Lightman. At this, we conclude. Thank you. Have a good day.
את האור, את קבוצתי, את המקלט, מרסיסי האפלה.
אך אני זאת,
בך התקווה, להאיר את אור האהבה. בתוך ליבי, אשא אותך תמיד,
חי עבורך בהווה ובעתיד.
בניגונייך מפלסים
לכל החי מעוף לעליונים
שעל כנפייך הם מרננים
החום שבך
ממיס כבולות בתוך ליבי
לחטופה
לכל המכות
שנוחתות ולא פוסקות בתוך ליבי אשא אותך תמיד
חי עבורך בהווה ובעתיד